All right, just going straight in.
Yeah, just straight in. Billy, what's going on? How's your day?
It's good. It's good. You started working now,
Finally, yeah, today's day two. Hey, we got a lot. We got a good bone to pick. Really good. I've been using the app every day.
Oh yeah, how was it? How'd you
Yeah.
like it?
Really good. Really good. I want to go through things that I like about it and things that, I mean, just little tweaks that, oh man, it's going to be great. But yeah, what did you work today? How's it going?
Yeah, work today. I was sick for a few, like 3, 4 days, and I still have a bit of a, a thick mucus going on, so my voice might be a little low. But yeah, feeling much better. Started working again, and yeah, just busy. With Care Notes, you can see how many patients you're seeing per day, and it gives you like a little breakdown of the whole day, how many patients you saw, what you did, and I'm averaging like 20 to 25 patients a day. I mean, including hygiene exams. So yeah, it's been busy.
And you said you actually, since we're getting right into it, you said you were putting it in your breast pocket right up here so you could
Yeah,
hear better.
I used to use the Apple Watch, but Apple Watch, there's a bit of a delay where it transfers the transcription to the phone. So I just used the phone because, I'm trying to save as much time as I can. So yeah, I just hit transcribe and I just put it in my scrub pocket and just go in, do your visit, and yeah, it
Dude,
works.
you'd be surprised. I've been putting it in my back pocket and it's picking it
Back
up.
pocket.
And
What?
it's still picking it up. Yeah.
You're standing up when you're working.
Yes. Yeah. I stand up when I work, do the consults and stuff. And it's still picking up the conversation with music on in the background. So
Yeah.
pretty impressive,
You
you
know,
know?
iPhone, which model do you have? Do you have one of the newer iPhones?
No, I got a 12, I think. I think it's
Okay,
a
yeah.
12.
You know, iPhone microphone is actually one of the best. It works really well. Even, I mean, Apple Watch works well because it's right there when you're talking and working, but it just can't beat the microphone that's on the iPhone. Especially the newer models is pretty amazing. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And you know when you get into that groove of the day where you're just seeing patient after patient after patient,
Yeah.
but it's like you haven't gotten back to like the office yet to write anything down.
Yeah.
I got it. No, I got to be honest. Like I just put this on in the background and like it's okay. You just get the patient name in there, right? It's HIPAA protected and everything, so nothing to worry about there. Get the patient name in and just hit record, go into the room, and it gets a nice detailed note. And I always like to just reiterate what, the patient's medical history is, whatever it is, so that, because those are the things you forget, the little tiny details, the allergy to penicillin, and then you're eight notes behind and you got to go prescribe an antibiotic and you're like,
Yeah, it's almost good practice to, even though you have or you already reviewed the medical history, it's good to go over it with your patient. But at the same time, I do it on purpose so that it picks it up on my notes. So
Exactly.
I just go over all the medical history and then just kind of talk about their family, their newborn son, and I just repeat the name, on purpose also. Well, your baby name, Kian, and because sometimes the names it has hard time picking up the proper spelling. So I kind of pronounce it as much as I can, and yeah, it picks it up pretty well. Even when you're treatment planning, you're typically saying it out loud. You don't tell patients like 15 DO composite and things like that. But when you're treatment planning, you're supposed to kind of dictate it to the dental assistant who's supposed
Yes.
to enter it into the dental software. So in that sense, I just say it out loud as if I'm having my assistant type something, but my assistant just, sitting there not really entering anything in because she knows that everything's just being captured on care notes. So yeah, it's a routine that you get used to, and it's, not much different than your typical day. I don't know how you used to write your notes back at Bellevue or at NYU, but do you used to kind of type up at the end of the day or in between patients?
I prefer in between patients. I really prefer it that way. So that's why it's great to have care notes in the background. Because if I am running through patients, also the last couple of days, I've been sharing a desk and the computer, like sharing. There's only one desk, one computer in the office while they're like moving some things around as I start. So, like, yeah, I'll go 10 patients without being able to sit down and get a note in. And that's not how I train. That's not how I'm used to doing things, you know? Sure, you see a couple of patients, you say a handful, but once I get over like two handfuls, like you start to forget that it's like the allergy to penicillin that I'm always very concerned of because you don't want to prescribe something that they're going to have an allergic reaction to.
Exactly. And
But one
sometimes,
thing, Yeah.
Sometimes patients say these medications. I mean, for me, we're general dentists. You're oral surgeon, so you're probably used to, a variety of medications and the interactions. For us, we don't see that many complex medical history, but sometimes they mention certain medications and you nod your head, all right, and I'll look into it later, but it actually captures it with the correct spelling, so you can go back and kind of, search through, make sure there's no complications or side effects. But yeah, it captures it pretty well.
The one thing about my phone is, again, it's an iPhone 12. This thing's like,
Yeah.
it's like 7 years, 6, 7 years old or something,
Yeah.
but it just, it wears down the battery a little bit too
Yeah.
much on my old phone. But anything where, I get up in the morning, it's already at 80% or something, on the charger.
Right.
But so it's like,
We
it's,
got to
but
get you.
that's one of
We'll
the,
send you a new phone. I think we have an extra one sitting around that you can use, so you don't
That's
have to.
okay.
No, but that's why the thing, what we're trying to do is trying to have. That was a bit of a challenge for my co-founders developing side, where we wanted to make sure users with older phones are able to still utilize the powerful AI and the technology. Obviously, certain old phones, iPhone has certain limitations. So iOS, if the app is taking up too much memory and power, sometimes you'll just shut it down. So you can imagine when you think you have your notes already kind of on the phone, and you walk out of the appointment and you look and the phone crash, or the app, if the recording's lost, that's the worst feeling. And which I've, dealt with in the developing stage. So we tried our best to make sure that many different phones can be still used, like the older models. So there's workarounds where you can turn off real-time transcribing, so that it adds a little bit of a delay on the processing and generating the note, but it actually takes up less power, less battery, and it's crash-proof. I don't know if you ever got that message where it might have said, "Hey, do you want to turn off real-time transcribing because your phone is overheating or taking up too much memory?" So you might notice that if you're stressing out the phone. So that's been a good workaround to making sure that it's crash-proof and that the doctors don't lose their notes. Yeah. So there's a lot
That's a
of
good point.
challenges that we had to deal with. Obviously, it's my first time dealing with developing an app, but there's definitely so much technology built into this app. You would think it's just a simple app, but there's a lot that went into it, where it would cut costs and it would let us be able to release this as a free option. Otherwise, the typical easy route is you send the transcription out into the cloud and back and forth. Everything's done online, so that the power is used on cloud and not on the phone, on the device. There's two reasons why we did that. Is because we wanted everything to be local, so that it's secure, so that there's no data going back and forth into the cloud. So that's one reason why we kept everything in the phone, done locally, so that nothing's being hacked or things very secure. And then another reason is so that it saves costs. There's no operating costs if everything is done on the phone. Obviously, we don't have to pay for these tokens or having a cloud memory space. So I don't know the exact details of it, but if we were to run it on cloud, we would have to charge the users a certain amount of subscription. We designed it purposefully, with all that in mind, thinking that we want to give this technology to as many doctors as possible. And only way to do it is you got to reduce all the friction of doctors adapting a new technology. That's the reason why we went with the phone, the mobile device, instead of setting up Bluetooth microphone in each operatory or having a desktop base, because then you gotta set a microphone and everything's tied to the desk. So our goal was to free doctors away from the desktop, being able to do everything on the phone. Like, for example, if I'm on my way home on the subway, I can review my notes and finish on the way home instead of in my office for about 20, 30 minutes, whether it's reviewing notes or reviewing tomorrow's schedule. All that could be done on the phone. So, obviously that has to be integrated with the Nano software, but at least the free version allows you to use it and still kind of just easily copy paste the notes into whatever Nano software you're using.
Oh yeah, and it's going to be super easy, super swift to get that once it is integrated. All it is just waiting for the integration. This is going to be great. Yeah, the next step is going to be fantastic. But hey, I just wanted to just to backpedal really quickly.
Yeah,
we jumped right into Care Notes, which is excellent. But I want to introduce you a little bit. You know, so yeah. Dr. Billy first met doing general dentistry in Manhattan first, also yeah. Upper East Side. Correct. Correct me if I'm wrong. Right.
Well, we met. And
at Bellevue. Yeah.
Bellevue. Yeah. I was attending there for, I was going in once a week. I did my residency at Bellevue. And I think you might have been first year oral surgery.
First year. Yeah.
So you were rotating through Bellevue. And I was attending there. And, you know, we would come in the morning and there would be lines of emergency patients that just walked in. And I would have to, they asked me to kind of triage the patients and see who's true emergency and if they are, you know, delegate to oral surgery or if it's something like a resement, and, you know, obviously we would send the patient to our GPR side. So I was, you know, doing the triage and I see you walk in for the first time, friendly with, you know, all the residents. And I guess this must have been July. So, you know, you're coming in or it might have been your first day at Bellevue. And I see you, this big guy, you know, coming in, I'm like, oh, who's this guy? I never met this one. And we chatted a little bit about the emergency patient. And you were super nice. You were ready to, you know, just take over. And I just had that good impression of you. Usually because, you know, the oral surgeons there, the residents are always tired and a little cranky and they don't want to deal with it.
You met me right before I was tired.
Must be fresh first year, yeah.
That's right. But, that's right.
Yeah, that's where I remember you from. And then I wasn't too active on Instagram, so I didn't see all your content or any dental influencers on social media. But when I started the company a little over a year ago, you know, I realized that, you know, these, whether it's software or whatever product, you know, the power of media was, you know, trickling down to the content creators. And I saw the power of how, the creators are kind of taking advantage of the attention and the distribution. I realized that value as I was kind of learning about startup companies. And that's when I come across your content. I was like, oh, I know this guy. And, you know, I see you doing all these videos. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then I started watching your stuff and, you know, very interesting variety of clinical. And, you know, I love how you're somewhat, you know, mentoring. And I wish I had contents that you're creating when I was starting off, when I was pre-dental or, you know, thinking about specializing and whatnot. So I think that's where a lot of your audience most likely get the value. But so, yeah, I saw your account and, more and more as I was trying to get the word out there about Care Notes, one of my associates at one of my practices, Dr. Bailey.
Brad Bailey. Bellevue guy.
He went to Bellevue GPR. And I also, Dr. Fang was one of the attending at Bellevue who I used to oversee when I was an attending there. You know, they all mentioned your name. And I think I saw you doing a podcast with Lee Kojanis, who I graduated with. And so, yeah, I kept seeing your name and, you know, how active you were and your clinical focus, your hard work, you know, obviously you're a hardworking doctor and resident. So
thank you.
Yeah. I wanted to reach out right away. And, you know, I actually did, I might've messaged you, you know, very early on when our account was very small and we were just starting off. And I asked Bailey, Dr. Bailey to kind of also kind of put in a good word. And then, yeah, long story short, just kind of, when we were really ready to, the product was really good and we were really ready to get the word out there, that's when we again reached out and talked about possible collaborations. And then, you know, you love, you know, obviously you have that entrepreneurship mindset and you're really into technology and obviously AI is the new trend that we all missed.
We need it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So when technology, you know, there's certain waves that come through in our lifetime and you know, obviously we missed the internet boom and that tech waves. You know, I've always been into technology and how it improves our life. And when AI was, you know, up and coming, that's when I wanted to really commit. And yeah, you and I just connected. We were talking about how AI can really, benefit us and benefit dentistry, and how we can really give the power and control back to, solo practicing doctors
Oh, yeah.
instead of, depending on private equities and big DSO groups, which, obviously there's market for it and, there's a demand for it, but, that's a hot topic that I've always been interested in. And it's sad
Same, yeah.
how you look back just even 5, 10 years ago, that's the typical, it's somewhat of a small business, dental office, and it's very relationship based. The typical model is, you come in as a new associate in a family practice, and they mentor you, and because you're new, you don't know what's going on, and you get the mentorship from the owner doctor, and you commit and you become part of family, hoping that long term you would have some equity in the practice, or eventually the owner doctor will retire and pass along the practice, and the patients get the continuity of care. The patient care, quality of care stays, as best as possible, and I believe that's the typical tradition that dentistry had. And just like anything else, I always use the analogy of like family-run businesses or restaurants or fine dining restaurants, and then there's the obviously there's a franchise model or fast food models. I'm not saying that a lot of these groups are comparable to that, but quality-wise, but it just saddens us to see, because I've been out for over 10 years, and just looking at the recent grads and what they're coming into, I think it's just such a different playing field for them, and it saddens me to see that we're losing that core value and the relationship-based care in a way. Because
Yeah,
yeah,
the
how you
patient
feel
side.
about that? Because you're just starting off, and obviously you're an oral surgeon, so it is a little different where practice specialty practices are built on also relationship with general practitioner and so forth. But there's many oral surgery, groups are coming out now, and DSOs are really, oral surgery practices are very attractive, I feel like, to DSOs. So,
They are.
so I think, I'm sure when you were looking for your position, there were a lot of DSO, opportunities out there, whether it's, all on six type of practices or,
Yeah, like
so.
Clear Choice and stuff. Yeah, the DSOs, and I mean, just to give shed some light on that. Yeah, the DSOs, it's for the short term a very high floor but a low ceiling, because you're never going to get equity in those practices. Just for listeners, real quick, right? So you get a very high floor, right? You're going to start out making a good amount of money. They're going to feed you patients and stuff. They might even give you a sign-on bonus. You have a lot of loans to start paying off, so they lock in, but then it's tough to get out, right? And that ceiling is generally lower because you're not going to get equity. When you go to finally retire one day or to move on to your next chapter in life, you're not going to have that nest egg that you're sitting on. It's going to be entirely based off of that income, right? You're not going to have anything to sell. And to round out that point, that income that you're getting from private equity, or if you're an associate, you're taxed 50% of that. So you're only making 50%, and that's after if you're getting whatever, 30 or 40% from the practice. Whereas versus private practice, if you can work your way into ownership, you have that nest egg when you retire and move on to the next chapter. Also, your skin, you have skin in the game. So you might not get the highest salary fresh out, but if you can guarantee yourself in the contract that there is partnership opportunity, that there is some bargaining, there's some, apprenticeship, and you get brought onto the cycle, into the practice, then, the percentage of what you make for every procedure you do, or all the patients you see, every surgery that you do, the percentage is higher. So the ceiling is higher long term. So just that's for listeners really quickly, just one example. And there's different opportunities on both sides, whether it be private practice, whether it be DSO, corporate. But generally, that's one example of it. And I just wanted to go back real quick, Billy, to Bellevue real quick. That and that, because I mean, you and I both know this, but for listeners, at Bellevue, that the urgent care, what we would call it, patients would start lining up for that at 6:30 in the morning. Clinic didn't start till 9 or 10 some days, right? So when you're triaging there for hours. You need all the help you can get. These patients are yelling and screaming. They're trying to cut the line. They're yelling at each other.
I
Some of
don't
them are
blame
coming in with weapons.
you.
Yeah. Oh, it actually is crazy. One guy was getting arrested in the hallway one day when I was an intern. That was after you. That was like a few months after you left.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. But
So just going back to, you know, how I kind of started. Yeah. I was fortunate to, you know, back when I was, you know, I graduated back in 2014 at NYU and then went to Bellevue GPR program, which was amazing. One of the best programs, I believe, at the time. You know, we had an amazing director, and you know, I think the program changed a lot over the years, but when we were there, it was amazing. And ton of...
Were you with Estrada, or was he after you before?
I was actually attending when Estrada was a resident.
No way!
Yeah, yeah. So you go way back. And there used to be an amazing director, Dr. Goodridge, and there's an associate director, Dr. Neil. I believe Dr. Neil might be still there, but yeah, it was an amazing program, and it was one of the handful of programs that let you do implants because there were so many cases at Bellevue. So that's where I got to really, you know, pick up a lot of the surgical procedures. And I also did, even before dental school, I was a dental assistant for about a year. I did the front desk. So I've been kind of in dental setting for some time. So when I got into dental school, it was very kind of intuitive, and I was in clinic, I was really able to kind of really value that patient doctor relationship. So I used to keep a little notepad. Even back then, I was really obsessed with clinical notes, so I used to have a little notepad writing down, you know, little personal details, and I used to confirm patients the day before, because I was used to doing that when I was working as a dental assistant. So that really helped me get higher case acceptance rate, and I was able to really fulfill my graduating requirements fairly quickly. And then, yeah, after that, even back then, I was really into technology, so I wanted to stand out. So that's back when Squarespace was just coming out, it's like a website building
template. Oh, yeah, I know Squarespace.
Yeah, so I actually built Squarespace starting D3, thinking that I would use this website to apply and showcase my crowns and root canals that I did back then. We used to do film x-rays, so I used to take a photo of the film and upload it on the website and have it kind of broken down almost like a practicing private office dentist, right? So
yeah,
but then with that, I was lucky to find great offices who, when they interviewed me, they thought I was already a practicing doctor because they saw my website and the patient testimonials and reviews. But that gave me an opportunity to work at some amazing practices. And my goal was to work at as many offices as possible and learn how to run the practice and then just start my own as soon as possible. Because I've always been into, you know, kind of in business and operations, and I wanted to become a practice owner. And that's just, you know, the dream, right? Owning a practice. And little did we know, it's a lot of stress and a lot of
management.
Yeah, it's not all, you know, roses and sunshine. But that was my goal. And actually, my first job is the practice that I'm partner of now. So I started there. I was working there 2 days a week. Amazing partners. They're somewhat transitioning out. So they're working 3 days a week now. You know, great, amazing doctors that kind of took me under and they kind of mentored me through. So I always kept that practice, working there 2 days a week. And then I kind of worked at many different offices. I used to work at all the West Side, Square, Pharmacy, pretty much, you know, all over Manhattan, and learned a lot. And so I was kind of pick and choosing where I wanted to practice. And you know, after about a year, I felt pretty comfortable clinically, and I learned the management side of the practice. So I wanted to start my own. But I kept coming back to that practice that I own now, because they were doing everything right, like the way they care for patients and the patient experiences and the way the doctors take care of the team members, hygienist who's been there over 30 years, assistant who's been there over 20 years. So you know, that was a really good, you know, quality practice that really valued the people, because, you know, only way to be successful in any business is to have the right team and the right people, right? So, and that's the hardest part, finding the right people. And they had
true.
And I was lucky enough that they offered me a partnership, and yeah, became a partner. And then after a while, again, I always wanted to grow and I love learning. So when I became a partner, You know, obviously our practice actually grew because we were referring out a lot of the procedures, and everything was kind of being kept in-house, kind of referred to me, and then I would send the patients back to my partners because they're all, you know, just bread and butter, cosmetic, and I would do a lot of the surgical canals. And
yeah.
So our practice was doing great, growing, and then I wanted to, you know, I said, what's next? You know, I wanted to learn more, and I was listening to many different podcasts, and at the time, Share Practices was a really good one that I listened to when they were just first starting off. So then I was really looking into the absentee model practices where doctors own a practice, but they manage and they hire associates, and sometimes they go into specialty procedures and whatnot. I actually used to work at an office like that where there was two owners. There were two owners of the practice. One was 80 at the time, one was 65. And, you know, obviously they weren't practicing. One was in Florida, one was just kind of, you know, coming in, writing checks and just handing it to me. And I was like, how is this possible? How are they, you know, owning this practice and just kind of coming in and managing? And so then I kind of, working there, I realized, oh, this is possible if you have the right people. And yeah, I kept reaching out to them, and you know, obviously they had no reason to sell because they just managed and that was it, very easy. So, but COVID happened, and then, you know, after COVID, they didn't want to deal with the recovery. So again, just having the luck I had, you know, I just reached out to them, and they said, yeah, we're ready to sell, and you know, we don't want to deal with recovery. But they said, you know, we're interested, but we'll call you back. Let me give it some thought. So we kind of hung up, and I was kind of nervous. Oh, maybe they don't want to sell. Maybe they're going to sell to the associates who are there. You know, obviously, that's the typical model. And they call back and they say, you know, he said, I passed. And he went around, asked the team members, because they didn't really care about their legacy and who took over the practice. Apparently, you know, some of the team members, you know, remembered me and said some good things. So they, you know, I passed the little interview that he went around and did. So yeah, I took over that practice and, you know, added a chair there. There was a private office space. So it was four-op practice. There was a back private office space. We converted that to a hygiene room and then just kind of grew that practice. Yeah, I've been very busy throughout the whole. And all this happened in the span of 5 to 6 years. You know, I became a partner, worked in multiple practices, and I acquired this other office best on my own. And then while my main practice is, you know, we're 10-op practice, and we had six doctors. Now we have about, five doctors. And the second practice, I don't practice there. And my dream was to set up this office and make it a very family-like environment, where something that you don't really see in Manhattan, where it's it's just like a, you know, small town vibe, family-like environment. This practice is in Upper West Side on 79th Street. You know, that area is very family-oriented, right. And the patients have been coming in for years. I always told my team that let's make this a place where we want to come to work. If I left, you know, for whatever reason, this office, I wanted this place to be the dream office. And I kept telling him, I hate office drama. That's the best way to practice, is to have fun, enjoy each other's company, and take good care of the patient. So I kept that culture going, and now it's very remote, and I have a great, amazing office, a manager there, and associates who are amazing. And we do meetings, and we talk about how we can keep that quality going. So that's, in a nutshell, kind of what I went through. And then after that second practice, I said, okay, you know, I feel like I get the multi-practice model, and you just got to repeat. It's very time-consuming, even though, you know, it sounds amazing, like, oh, yeah, absentee model and, you know, on the practice. It's not as, you know, glamorous, you know, a lot of hard work, keeping the culture going, keeping the quality of patient care going, and the experience. Remotely is very difficult. So then, you know, I knew third or fourth, fifth practice was just a matter of time, and you're just training time. And I was kind of asking around, you know, what should I do? Like, the older doctors who already have multiple practices, I talked to, you know, doctors who have just one practice for their whole career. So I was asking around, trying to figure out my next move. And yeah, that's when I really kind of got obsessed with AI and tech companies and startups. And I just did a deep dive, kind of like what we did. I feel like that's what we do as dentists is we kind of get obsessed with details and we just dive in. And we're quick learners, I feel like, because we have to learn quickly and adapt and apply it with our hands. It's very physical, but mentally, you know, we have to prepare first, which I feel like it's very similar to tech companies and startup is you kind of learn as you go and you kind of apply what you learn and you kind of correct and reiterate and you know, fix things as you go. You just throw things out there and you fix it. So I did a deep dive on that. And then that's when AI was just kind of to the trend. So that's how it all kind of started. I know I kind of went on and on about the whole, you know, that's my 6-year, 7-year career. And then, yeah, now I
appreciate this. Yeah, I learned a lot right now because we've talked so many times, but I didn't know these individual pieces. And the days that you're working right now, so that one is completely remote, Upper West Side, 79th. Which practice are you working in day to day? Which days a week? How many days a week?
Yeah.
And then where's that location?
So our main practice is Park 56 Dental Group. We're on 56th Street between Lex and Park.
That's right.
I practice there 4.5 days a week. So I'm off on Tuesdays and I work every other Saturday because Saturday is such a popular, high demand. And you know, obviously working on the weekends is not ideal. But I mean, at this point in my career, people ask me, what's your favorite procedure to do? Or, you know, what's your favorite part of dentistry? For me now, even for you, if you're doing some extraction, it's very routine and it's part of you, right? So now I actually get energy and fulfillment from getting difficult patients or difficult cases or phobic patients who hate dentists and I come in and I want to, it's almost like a challenge. I want to win them over and cure them of this phobia, because dental phobia only is something that you develop, you know, obviously through bad experiences in the past and there's some kind of a pain or bad experience involved and that's what's being triggered. So if you're providing good experience and painless appointments, you know, appointment after appointment, they also condition themselves and learn that, oh yeah, there's no reason for me to be scared and there's no reason for me to be, you know, nervous. Kind of like I'm afraid of heights. I always tell my patients, your phobia is very legitimate. Like, I get it. Like, I have fear of height. I know I'm not going to fall down, but when I'm like, even 7th floor high and looking down, I get chills and I want to run away from the edge because, you know, just the thought of it, right? Yeah. It's crazy. If you think about it, it's so stupid. Like, no one's going to push you off the edge or you're not going to fall off. But just knowing that it's possible gives you that phobia. So, you know,
right.
And I tell that to the patients and that's my joy in dentistry is, you know, having patients kind of really appreciate and value the type of experience that I provide, that's where we get energy. And because dentistry is not easy. And I'm literally running room to room, handling 3-4 hygienists, you know, throughout the day as I'm doing, you know, these procedures. It's not easy to manage, but while you're staying busy providing those type of, quality of experience, being efficient, that's what gives me energy, you know, gets me going. So, and that's why I'm so obsessed with, you know, this note part or being efficient with AI and how it can make our day easier is so that I can be more efficient and see more patients and, you know, touch more lives throughout the day. Right. So that's my drive and that's how this all kind of started.
Yeah. Where do you live right now? Are you in in that area on the Upper
West? Yeah, I used to live in the city and now we're in Brooklyn. We're in Best-Eye near Clinton Hill, Best-Eye. I don't know if you're familiar with Brooklyn area, but we're kind of the borderline, you know, gentrification, a lot of younger. Well, now there's a lot of younger somewhat young, you know, art students. I think there's a art school nearby. Pratt, I believe, is nearby, or
Are you
Parsons.
near J Street, Metro Tech? No.
Metro Tech, yeah, farther
Got it.
in. I don't know if you're familiar with like the downtown Brooklyn, and then there's Fort Greene Park. So very neighborhood-like, area. And yeah, it's a nice area to be. We moved here 7 years ago, thinking that we would come and sell, and maybe we would move, but we just ended up staying, and we were so busy, and then obviously all the whole mortgage rate and all that kind of happened. So we just ended up staying, but we love it. It's quiet and not as hectic when you're in the city. So it's a good balance.
Yeah. My question is, how many floors up are you staying now? Is it like a flat? Is it like a brownstone? Is it like
Oh
are you in
yes,
an apartment building?
it's a little. It's not a high-rise condo, but it's a fourth-floor walk-up condo. And
Fourth floor. Got it. Got it. Got it.
the reason why we picked this place, we knew nothing about the neighborhood. We just loved the property of the wide windows in the living room, and we have a private terrace space. Not big, but we have a private terrace space because we're on the fourth floor, and then we get the top floor. And that was really, amazing to have throughout COVID. Very fortunate to,
Especially, I was going to say COVID, yeah.
have the outdoor space. So yeah, that was amazing. We have a car, and we have a garage right across the street. So we drive in typically on the weekends. And my wife actually has a shop in Soho. Another interesting fact: she has a boutique shop. She used to be an art director, but now she started her own brand a couple years ago. So yeah, we drive in on the weekends and
Yeah.
out in Soho with my dog, just kind of walking and just kind of hang out there mostly.
What's the brand? What's the brand? Tell everyone the
Yeah,
brand.
so she carries jewelry, home goods, some fashion. It's great for gift shopping. It's on the second floor in Soho. Very intimate. It's called Bomi, Bomi. If you Google Bomi NYC, or if you look on Instagram, Bomi NYC, you'll see it there. Yeah, very.
Let me look it up. Yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing how, she had this organic growth over the years, and she sometimes gets featured on like strategists or gift guides, and then all of a sudden people come and just slowly getting word of mouth. Yeah, that's our website.
Nice.
Yeah,
Oh, I've
and
seen these. Yeah.
every once in a while you'll see my hand with a cup. Yeah, and if you go on Instagram, you'll see like she does a lot of pop-ups with these smaller brands, that everything is kind of handmade and very local. She gets a lot of design products from Europe, Amsterdam, Copenhagen, many from Korea and Asia, also Japan.
Very
Yeah,
nice.
so
I'll
if
get
you
back to care notes later, but so
have.
I also had another thing. How were you able to commute? You said you moved into that area several years ago, and then you had residency, and then you started the practices, and then you've been, but you were in, there was a period a couple of years, at least 1 year, right, where you were going up to the Upper West Side, you were going up to the Upper East Side, and then you were going and you said Gramercy, and you were commuting all the way from Brooklyn that whole time.
Well, that's the thing. I take the G train, so my door-to-door commute to my main practice, 56 Lexham Park, is actually 35 to 40 minutes, which isn't too bad at all. And my first patient is 7:30, so I usually leave. I like to be early at the office, kind of at least try to be there at least 10, 15 minutes earlier to kind of get settled and be ready. So I always leave about an hour before my first patient. I usually get up 2 hours before I leave the door. So this is something I started doing when I first started practicing. I was kind of obsessed with success and doing those life hacks and things like that. So I read somewhere where if you can't be a millionaire, you just kind of fake it and follow the millionaire habits. And one of them was waking up 4:30 a.m. in the morning. And I'm not a morning person. I hated waking up so early. And I get creative at night, kind of like this. Like we're talking at 10 p.m. here, but that's my usual time. Is I'm a night owl, so I kind of force myself to be a morning person. So I started doing that almost 10 years ago when I first started practicing there. And yeah, it kind of stuck since. And when you get up 4:30 in the morning, it's very quiet, peaceful. There's no distractions, and you don't get all these alerts on your phone. So you're able to sit down and really catch up on your emails and reply, take time to kind of think and kind of organize your thoughts, or listen to podcasts or YouTube. I'm always consuming educational content online, but that's what I do. I want to be awake before I see my first patient. So that's something I started doing in a way for patient care. And then it just kind of stuck ever since. And now it's getting more and more difficult because with startup, every minute, waking hour, you're just constantly working. There's no chill on Netflix. There's always something to do. Like even before this call, I was on a call with my partner talking about our marketing strategy and how we can get the word out there and what's the next step for us. So it's just constant, work. A lot of dentists talk about burnout and you're just starting off, so you'll probably start to feel it soon. And I'm pretty sure you probably felt it in residency also. Would
For
you say you
sure.
were pretty burnt out before you even started making your own money?
Unfortunately, it's an interesting feeling because you haven't even started yet. But
Yeah, and then you have in the back of your mind, you have all these loans, and so it's a lot of pressure. But burnout, I realized is at some point you're burnt out because you may not be as passionate about what you're doing right then and there at the moment. So, meaning when I first started working and, doing implants for the first time, it was hard, a lot of training, like a lot of learning. But at the time, it was very joyful, and you're very happy, and nothing would faze you. You're tired, but you want to get up, and you're ready for the next surgery. Or even in dental school, when you're doing a class one prep, you're like, "Oh my God, I'm doing a filling, class one, class two, slap press," and you're really enjoying it. And then eventually, it becomes routine, and then you slowly kind of want new things. And I feel like that's just human nature, And that's how I felt. Whenever I felt burnout, I feel like I was just getting too comfortable, and then I wanted to learn something new. It was always about learning, I feel like, and applying it, and that's what I enjoy the most. So with doing a startup, the amazing thing about it is I'm working so many hours, more than I've ever, worked before, but I'm not burnt out at all, and I'm obsessed. It's almost like when I don't know if you're into video games, when StarCraft was really popular, or Diablo or Counter-Strike, like all you think about is the game, and you want to just wake up and play the game. Like, the moment you wake up, you turn the computer, you log in, and you start playing. It's like the same thing. You're so obsessed with it, and you're enjoying it, you're having fun, that there's no real burnout. But physically, I'm actually feeling it now, and I think that's one of the reasons why I was sick, that bad when I last week, because I was getting 3, 4 hours of sleep a night for a very long time, and I knew how important sleep was, and mentally also, it wasn't. I can feel like I was losing a lot of the memories. And
That's not good though. That's too much. Billy, you there? Looks like it's frozen. Can you hear me? Hello? 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 Are you there? I'm texting you. I don't know if you can hear me or not. Screen froze. Try signing back in. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Hey, I was just letting you know. I purchased. This is like I've had this purchase for 2 years. Yeah. No,
That's
we
crazy.
have the full.
It's like those Zoom free version where you get kicked off after an hour.
God, that was they were smart that they did that. It was
Yeah,
so annoying.
that's how they get you. But yeah, that's my day to day now, is just really focusing on creating this value for practicing doctors. And I feel like that's the biggest value and rewarding, most rewarding thing is, yes, you're helping these patients. It's so rewarding, and it's so fulfilling. And now I get to help doctors who are doing that, on a day-to-day basis, which is just blows my mind. Just with technology, I'm able to do that. Like, probably felt it using Care Notes. Like, imagine now going back to days where you have to type up everything now. Like, you can't imagine it. There's no going back. It's kind of like internet, or before we had cell phones. You just can't imagine going back to it. So I feel like That's when I realized, especially in dentistry, the technology doesn't come to dental until, years later. Like, it's not new for us. Everything is kind of going to medical, and the medical gets the best, best and the newest technology. And then eventually someone decides to go, oh, hey, dentist needs this too. And then they come in and charge us a ton of money and, develop something, right? So, and I always hate it. And that's our mission is I was so lucky again, and I've been so fortunate throughout the whole career. I was so lucky that one of my close friend was an amazing, smartest AI scientist at Amazon, and he was leading the Alexa team. And it just turns out it's like the best profession to help us because it's ambient listening. So that's what Alexa does, and he understands the privacy and HIPAA compliance and how valuable this could be for doctors. So he saw the vision right away when I brought up the idea. And yeah, this was a little over a year ago, and he left Amazon, and he committed full time to this. And yeah, he's been working, so he's also working more than ever. He's applying. He loves the stimulation that he's getting from this, because in the past, when you're on a corporate position, there's you can't be too creative. Everything is just kind of structured, and you're within that template.
Yeah, the boundaries.
Yeah, exactly. For him, that was a challenging moment for him also, because he's been in AI for a long time, and he also, when he came to see our doctors using the product, he saw the difference that he was making firsthand. So that to him was such a fulfilling moment. So him and I, our vision and our fulfillment out of CareNotes, it just kind of, exploded and just became this synergy to create something really valuable and practical and that can make a difference today. Not something that you dream about or you put out a demo about, but we wanted to create something that AI can make a difference today instead of next year or down the road. Yeah, so that's the reason why we started with clinical note automation. That was my biggest pain point because I was staying late at the office, and then the rest is just kind of slowly iterating and adding on more features. Yeah, and when you look at all the tech companies, that's how they kind of start. Even Facebook, it was about connecting people or just putting profile out there so that they know who they can. Kind of stalk on each other's profile. And then Instagram, if you think about it, Instagram started as taking a photo and simply sharing it with your friends. This is such a simple product, a simple feature, and then it became a company. So that was what I was kind of studying about is a lot of these successful big tech companies started as a feature. So then what feature can we utilize now that can be improved with AI? And that was the clinical note part. And yeah, that's, you've used it, and there's obviously there's so many potential. Right now you don't have it, it's not released yet, but I'm using a version where AI is interactive. So we have Carrie built in the app where if I'm seeing, let's say, Jane for 6 month hygiene exam, before I jump into the room, I hold the button and I talk to Carrie. I say, hey, give me personal details about Jane Doe. And then Carrie would say, Jane, used to see a dentist in Jersey, but now works nearby and walks to work and wanted to find a new dentist. And that's why she found you online. So just knowing that, and then it told me like, oh, she has a newborn who's two, turning, or actually she has a daughter who's turning two, named, Jill. Right off the bat, I just walked in and I said, oh, hey Jane, how you been? You just walked over, right? So convenient. How's baby Jill doing? Just like that, immediate connection. And in the past, I used to open up a chart, scroll up to the previous notes, and then read the note, and then
At the
go.
computer,
Yep,
right? You have to sit
exactly.
down, you have to
Yeah,
open
I
it
would have to
up, you have
run
to
back to
scroll through.
yeah, I would have to run back to my office, scroll through, and then when I'm running back, my front desk would grab me and say, oh, Dr. Choi, this patient called, this patient asking me, can you send this prescription? And I could just pull left and right. and I have another hygienist is waiting for an exam. So, you know, all this is just, you know, it's such an amazing tool to have. And again, I just can't imagine practicing without it. And we're trying to introduce these features in a way that is intuitive and even, you know, not tech-savvy boomer can just download and use, right? So,
right.
That's our goal, and that's our day-to-day. That's all we think about is just obsessed about how can we improve, you know, doctors, you know, problem and save time,
right.
which
right.
in return, you know, give more time and energy back to the provider. In return, have them give them more energy and time to spend with the patient.
Right.
In return, patients benefit and improves the whole quality of care. That's our goal. Yeah.
Right. Right. And I'm loving it too. I mean, I hope I'm texting you whenever I get an idea. I hope if you need just, I just think of something, I'm like, I got to send this to Billy and I type it up when I fire it off.
I
could definitely do that some other way, put it in a note and then text you in the morning or in the evening.
Because these ideas come, and I do the same with my partner. I just throw it out there. Send it to me whenever you think of something, because, and this is what we've been telling and asking our users is, you know, now we have about 3,000 doctors who downloaded mm-hmm. that and using it. And, you know, obviously they're not using for every patient. Some are using for new patient exams. Some are using for every patient. You know, so the use case is very different. And it's amazing how users use the app in a way that we don't even think about, because we have Carry built in the app, and Carry alerts us. Like, it's amazing how my partner made this, where Carry sends us an email saying, hey, this user sounds frustrated. Or, hey, this user has a great idea. And you can customize your note template with Carry. So you can tell Carry, hey, I want to use this template for my root canal procedures. And Carry will say, okay, do you want to use this template, or you want to move this and that? So it's very interactive. And so you know, we in the app, we put in a feedback button where we're trying to get as many feedback from dentists as possible, because doctors, hygienists, you know, we love all feedback. Even we have physical therapists or estheticians sending us feedback because they want, you know, they're using it in their day to day. And those feedback are so valuable to us because that's what all we're trying to do is make the app better.
Little tweaks here and there.
Exactly. We want users to be delightful when they're using the app. So that's why we're really always, you know, begging for feedbacks. You know, now that you're really, you know, using it day to day, we'd love to get your feedback. And you'll see it as you're using it. It'll come to you at that moment like, oh my God, why don't we have this? That we'll make it, we'll probably release it in a week. We had a feature where a specialist asked, you know, can Carry generate a referral report from my notes, because it was a periodontist who wanted to send the notes back to the referring doctor.
I actually just saw that button. Yeah, I just saw that button today. That's funny you mentioned it.
We launched it three days after, and we worked like overnight, and then we launched it, and he uses it, and he thanked us. And just to get that feedback loop is such a rewarding experience, and we love it. And a lot of the things that we don't realize is, you know, these referring doctors, when you see, you know, let's say you took out a wisdom tooth and you want to talk back to the referring doctor. Mm. Sometimes, you know, we would text or, hey, thanks for sending that patient. Apparently all that is not HIPAA compliant. So everything, even that communication, I've seen services where they send the secure link,
yes,
open up a report. Now all that could be done within the app, where if I send you a patient for all four wisdom teeth extractions, right after I see the patient, I can send you my note, so you can already have the personal details and what we talked about during the appointment. And then when the patient comes to see you, you already have my notes right then and there. So you don't have to call me, we don't have to play phone tag or text each other. And you'll walk in and say, I heard about Jill. How's she doing? I heard she's going to summer camp. I'm like, wow, Dr. Cho already calls you? I'm like, yeah, we look like we're, you know, best friends, and we're communicating all the time for the patient. And patient has such an amazing experience. And then after you see the patient, you send me your note. And I see right away, right after you're done pulling out that tooth, I see that Brandon already saw her, took out all the, you know, No complications. I can even text her the next day saying, "Oh, hey, how's your visit with Brandon?" I love those post-op calls, which sometimes would sound weird, but if you're, obviously you do a lot of surgery, so whenever I do surgery or anything, I always give a follow-up call, and patients are delightfully surprised. And I learned that from my partners, who, my senior partners at Part 56, they've always told me to follow up with patients. Give them a call, they'll appreciate it, and they'll send you patients and so forth. So, with that, you can imagine already the patient experience that
It
you
improves,
have.
absolutely.
So that referring communication, we developed it, and you'll get, it's almost like an Instagram feedback feed page where you'll see my note, and you can comment on the note almost like commenting on a post, and then you can do a smiley face, you can raise your hand. So there's multiple features. We can connect, and we can test it out, do some simulations, and that way it's easier for you to share with your referring doctors and say, "Hey, I'm using Care Notes. Can we communicate securely through the app?" And that's our thought, is that this would organically spread throughout the network of doctors. So yeah.
And it will continue. There's so many things I want to send you just from 2 days of using it. I'm like, and all good things. And it's, and I know you guys you're working tirelessly. So to, just to make it better and better.
And like we talked about, is eventually, our limitations are really with integrations, or these legacy softwares who have kind of corporate deals and already ties with bigger DSO groups, and there's a lot of politics and a lot of control there. So eventually, I know we talked about it, but the vision is that, we will have our AI agent as practice management software. So instead of these legacy softwares, because all it is scheduling, insurance, patient information, it's a database. So, I always envision where, imagine like ChatGPT, like the front desk, member or treatment planning coordinator would have a box and say, "Hey, this patient needs this and that." Everything's already done, and you're able to present to the patient right away. Patient says, "Oh, that sounds too much," or, "What is the root canal?" And an AI agent can hear it and give you what to say and guide the front desk also. Scheduling could be done automatically in the back end. Imagine patients having Care Notes, the patient version, on their phone, where when they go to see a medical doctor, instead of explaining their symptom over and over again, they just use the app and already have the notes and the post-op instructions already on your phone. And that creates a link from patients and the doctors and the providers, and we can communicate with each other and seamlessly, again, improving the experience and the healthcare system. So that's our
Oh, definitely.
long-term vision. And obviously the tech is there, the AI technology is available and is capable. It's just how we introduce it and how we implement it is the key.
And I like that. I mean, unfortunately, you did get a little bit of a cold there, but I love how committed you are to the speed of getting these things because that's what the limiting factor is going to be. I have to send you, there's another part, there's another company of an AI model that is released for dentists as well. I got to send it to you because Care Notes is going to be able to do all of this at the same time, depending, potentially better too. But the AI company and team that moves the fastest in all directions, because AI has the capabilities to do it, but do we have the capability to implement it and move with it and make the moves forward with it? That's it's going to be a both. It's going to be an everything, right? Because the company that's going to purchase the AI model at the end of the day, just like when you purchase a or say you start to work with a marketing company or a management company or a business company, you want the ones where it's like, oh, and I was just talking to someone, their marketing team does this. Can you do that? You want them to say, yes, of course we can do that. We've been doing that. We could do it this way or that way, right? You want them to say, yes, we can do it all. So that's another thing that I don't even have to say it. I know you guys are doing that.
That's why we reached out to you for help, is, we need to create a network of doctors who really care about what we're doing and how it can benefit us as providers. Because like you said, it's a race. Any tech company, especially AI, is evolving so fast that, unless you're keeping up daily, you're already behind. So we're moving very fast, and whatever that's new, we're already implementing. And the thing with that is we still want to grow at a fast pace, but we want to do it organically. We don't want to just do
Of
it
course.
for the sake of getting these bigger deals or getting many offices signed up as possible, but we want the right people, right doctors on board, so that we always keep saying that Karynos is a product-led, dentist-led company, instead of whether it's financial motive or whether it's, to be the biggest company. That's not our, obviously all that has to be kept in the back of our mind, because at the end of the day, we still need the capital to do all these things properly. But at the same time, yeah, we do need a great network of doctors who really value the product and who can really give us good feedback and guide the company for us. Yeah.
Contribute,
So that's the thing
right?
is, that's our defensibility is, yes, there's speed, which we have, and we're working very fast, but our biggest, defensibility would be network of doctors that we have. We already have 3,000 doctors, we're already in their phones, and we have, them signed up. Even though they may not be using it every day, they're already part of Karynos, So now we're reaching out to, I've been cold messaging those content creators who I feel like they're hardworking dentists who would value having a tool like this for free and kind of evolve with the company. I've been just cold, messaging. I'll send you a whole list. Maybe you'll have better luck than I have. But yeah, that's our goal, is to get some help from, people who already have attention, who already have an audience of doctors like yourself, or even aspiring doctors or hygienists or any providers who are in healthcare that can really spread this word and really spread this enthusiasm of improving patient care from the bottom up. That's where our focus is, end user, and that's why we're despite it being very challenging and difficult, what gets up, gives me energy to get up after 3 hours of sleep and just keep going. Yeah. So we'd love to get your expertise on how we can, spread the word and really be, we're trying to be the Nike of dentistry. We want to have that, the branding and the vision of being the successful dentist. What does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to provide the best care, best experience? And when you think of that, we want people to think of Karynos AI. So that's our goal. It's a very, it's a big aspiration, but we gotta aim high, and hopefully we dream big and we get there.
100%. Oh yeah, and you're doing it. We're doing it.
Yeah,
We got this.
definitely would love to. Yeah, I would love to pick your brains, and so glad you're on board, and would
Me
love to.
too. I'm so glad you reached out. I mean, I'm humbled by all this, but I'm also excited. I'm so excited. And I just got three more names. I mean, I mentioned two. I think I mentioned two of them. I gotta mention them to you. I'll text you after, but we gotta get you in touch with a couple people from the, yes, the marketing. I mean, we talked about that already. I'm pretty pumped about that, but I just had an IT guy that you need to talk to, 'cause he does, this guy does like office revamping centered on the IT and the more. And we want to be the heart of the IT. Karynos needs to be the heart of IT, right?
Exactly.
So,
It's
yeah.
hard to imagine, even for me. Knowing what's possible, sometimes knowing the limitations of AI, it also kind of is double-edged sword. It doesn't give me the creativity of thinking outside the box. So it's almost like, in tech they use this analogy of, users, let's say users are riding horses, and users are going to say, we want faster horses, we want more horses, we want sturdy carriage, and the technologies evolve where they can give users cars.
Cars, yeah.
Yeah, so but for us, when we're riding the horse, when we're in it, we don't think that is possible. So that's almost like the breakthrough and the inflection point of, as AI is improving, and that's what we mean by practice management software, is it's not, especially dentistry, when you open a practice management software, it's like Windows 95. It's such a outdated technology in a way, and there's new amazing companies coming out. I think there's many cloud-based ones that have amazing features, but at the same time, it's why is it that we don't have these technologies that we're able to use right off the bat? Why is it that we have to go through demos, and why do we have to set up all these microphones and all that? We just need to get it and just kind of start using and see the experience so that doctors can see, oh, wow, we can do this. This is possible. Because without seeing even a slight possibility of what he can do, we just can't imagine it. And we don't have time to set up demos, and we're busy taking care of patients. So that's
Right.
our goal now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, this is the beginning too, and we're gonna have more episodes in the future. Don't think that this is, yeah.
There's so much to cover, and I try to get it in as many as possible during this short period of time. But yeah, it's just so much to cover, so many possibilities, so many ideas, and even there's other great companies already coming up. Guys taking phone calls, making scheduling. Obviously there's companies that read X-rays for us. All that, it's really helping dentists. I'm glad at least we are in a way getting technology much faster than what we used to get in the past. That adaptation in dentistry with new technology, I improve, and I'm really glad that more and more people are paying close attention to dentistry, because with AI, it's all about solving boring, repetitive, tasks, and there's a lot of it in dentistry, whether it's
Yeah.
insurance billing and whatnot.
And
So,
outdated too. A lot is outdated, right?
and people are just mind blown of how we operate. The people in tech, even Y Combinator, they talk about dentistry all the time when I listen to their podcast. Y Combinator is, I don't know if you're familiar, but they work with startup companies, and they help grow, and they always talk about how with AI you can have startup company go to dentistry and have them work, one day as a front desk or insurance coordinator, and see how much improvements that you can do just by developing something with AI and giving this solution such valuable solution. So there's definitely a ton of interest in healthcare in general, and I think the possibilities are endless, and I think we could do it right. There's many companies that kind of have different motives, and certainly you hear a lot of stories about OpenAI,
Yeah.
these AGI and the intelligence that can fall into bad hands, or use it a certain way. I think it's the same in healthcare. We have to really be careful of, just with any new technology, we have to be careful how we use it and how
Right.
we develop it, and who better to guide us than providers themselves, right?
The most ethical, the only ones that are taking oaths for patient care. Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, it's a journey, and excited to be part of it, and looking forward to hopefully with this, once we get some content out there, many will see and hear about Care Notes and have some interest, and maybe it'll spark some interest for them to download it, and because it's free to use, it's just amazing how there's so many things that we can say to the doctors, so many great things about the app. But it's just, that's why I think content creators in general have so much power and say in what general public gets exposed to.
Right.
You think of like broadcasting companies back in the day, and Super Bowl ads and these commercials, all that power, all that, curation is now trickle down to creators like yourself. And we were talking about this, how for me, even to just be on, in public like this is not, something that I'm natural at and I hate doing. But even seeing patients, I remember when I first started seeing patients, I'm a shy person in general. I grew up, in Korea. I came to the United States as an immigrant and didn't speak English. I was just in shy, just in general, I'm a shy personality. I had to kind of overcome it with practice, even with patients. For me, going in, talking to them was a challenge
Yeah.
for me to talk to them and look them in the eye and carry a conversation. And that, of course, improved over time. And now it's just second, it's
Second
just
nature, yeah.
so just like that, I feel like it's a muscle that you have to develop. And the whole reason, now I have a reason to do it, is to you know, obviously get people to know about the company. So hopefully with this, you know, I'll get better and better at explaining what we're doing and what we're aiming for. And hopefully this content would trigger some interest, and we'll continue to spread, and hopefully we'll grow and grow the right way.
Yeah. It's only the beginning. Yeah. Yeah. This is the beginning to it.
It's exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Think of how far you've come. You're saying starting shy and then coming into being able to, you know, eye contact and holding, you know, second nature now. You're not even thinking twice about it. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon, same thing. Same thing with AI app. Same thing with Care Notes.
Pretty
soon, second nature. Oh, right. Yeah.
That's the goal, and that's what I study and I learn about. And yeah, it's fun. Learning really, I think, dentists, again, in general, we love learning. And, you know, that's why we go to all these CE courses and study clubs. And that's why you specialize, because you wanted to learn more about the oral surgery. And now you'll learn different things, like managing patients, managing your time, your schedule, and providing the private office experience, working with assistants and front desk, how you can motivate and encourage them to do better for patients and work with you. All that, when I started, it was such a learning experience, and I loved it. And just learning that leadership, because you as a doctor, you are a leader of the practice. You are the leader in that room, and that is another skill that I'm, you know, obviously still learning and implementing. So yeah, it's all very exciting. A lot to cover. I mean, there's so much to talk about, so many dental stories. You know, obviously we focused on AI, but in dentistry too, within five years, I've gone through one dentist can go through in their whole career, selling, buying practice, teaching, you know, retiring, or not retiring, but you know what I mean? It's almost like, you know, having an absentee practice, you go through that experience, and, you know, I was part of a startup practice, like so much that I learned along the way, that, you know, even dealing with DSOs, I have some affiliations with DSOs, so I can, you know, talk about that as well. So hopefully, if, you know, your audience isn't into AI, as we do these, you know, conversations, hopefully we can also add value in, you know, how all the way from pre-dental to all the way to mid-career to retirement even.
It's a good point.
Yeah, it's a good point.
You'd make a great mentor with the amount of experience and insight that you have from all the practices, the transitions. But AI is very popular.
Yeah, hopefully that you know, triggers some interest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to. Maybe one of these days we'll do like, you know, those live sessions where we can answer any questions. We'd love to, you know, do anything with you. I mean,
that's a great idea. We should do that.
Yeah, I love how, and this is what I realized with your podcast, is the way you talk with your guests and the way you kind of guide them. And, you know, I talked a lot already, and I you know, thanks to you, you kind of guided it kind of, you know, out of me in a way. So I think I already knew that coming in, because I've seen your episodes, and you're a great, great host.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, and I'm not just saying that. I appreciate that. I've done few, not many like this, but I've had some conversations with doctors about this topic, and I love how intrigued you are, how interested you are. And again, I can see that you're interested to learn more. And
oh, I am. I have a text opened up of ideas I've gotten through the episode. I'm going to fire it off to you. We could talk about it another day, because it's late, but it is, it's super important. And the thing that I like about long form content is like, you know, there's no deadline on this, right? But we want to make sure that, I mean, I'm asking you questions because one, I know it, or I know it and I want the viewers and listeners to know it, or I don't know it and I want to learn it, right? It's like a flow. It's like a story. And the beauty in that, especially in this episode, I mean, I'm going to post it on all the platforms between YouTube, podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be there forever, because they don't take them down, right? So as long as someone wants to search, whether it be your name, whether it be Care Notes, whether it be, you know, my podcast, whether it be Dose of Dental Podcast, it's like I have it, so it's going to come up for years in the loop. And then as we have, like, this will be part one, and then we get a part two, part three, part, I've set it up.
Good.
But then it's like, it tells a story in one podcast, but it tells an additional story because the next conversation is going to be completely new.
Exactly. Right?
And listeners can pick it up from there. So yeah. It's fun. It's exciting that we could tell the story of Care Notes as we go through them, you know?
Yes. And hopefully every conversation, there'll be new advancements, new technology, new features.
Exactly. There will be.
Oh yeah, there will be for sure. Yes. There's already so many that I didn't talk about that hopefully users can just download it and experience it themselves. But yeah, with the Apple Watch, now we just, I think the Android version is almost like a beta version. So we wanted to get that out there as quickly as possible. It's not as good as the iPhone version, but at least it has the basic function. Hopefully we're just still waiting on Play Store to release it. It might even be up now. I don't know. If you search Care Notes, it might pop up. And then, you know, then we have to, maybe we can talk about it in these conversations about which direction we should go. Because we're still trying to decide, do we build the Carry, you know, 2.0 agent to replace PMS, or do we add different features, and you know, is that long term? Yeah. There's definitely is evolving, you know, day to day. So we'd love to have you involved in the conversation and more doctors who is interested. Even if we post something, if they comment, that would be helpful also. Even just, you know, for anyone to just comment on our post, that would be helpful. Just like a feedback, and that would guide us. And if they're really interested, I'm open to connect with anyone and discuss. And I love talking about this, and I'm very passionate about applying the AI. So yeah, we'd love to keep the conversation going. You working
100%. Yes,
I'm
working tomorrow.
So how is it? Yeah, 7:30 tomorrow. But how is it? I mean, I'm used to, again, 3 hours sleep. But how is it being in a private office?
It's been good. It's still, you know, like I'm sharing a desk with, or at least these 2 days was with one other surgeon, and now I'm with tomorrow I'm with the boss. So it's going to be a big day. And I looked at the schedule. It's like 15 procedures in the morning alone, but it's good. It's good. I literally need Care Notes right now because I'm splitting a computer with someone else. So like I could go back to the office and I got two patients waiting. I was going to get a note in quick, and he's using the computer. So it's like, all right, I'm going to go back to the,
wow.
And no, he's awesome too. He's so nice about it. I feel terrible for sitting down at a computer because I know he's been there for a year and he's seeing more people than I am. So it's like, in fact, I told him about Care Notes today. I'm gonna send it to him.
And you know, to have another provider next to you at a back office, or even the owner doctor on the same day, is such a valuable time. You know, in solo practitioner, times some doctors prefer to practice on their own. But for me, I've always been lucky to have been part of a group practice. I can't imagine not having someone there to like bounce off ideas, or, you know, talk about diagnosis, or even just vent and talk. It's such a good environment. And I'm sure you'll pick your, you know, ask questions about or anything, you know. So all that is such a valuable, you know, opportunity. Just sucks, yes, sharing a desk and having one computer. But, you know, again, it's you know, imagine just being by yourself in a practice, not able to talk to any other doctors. It's
able to write anything by him, yeah.
Yeah. So and private practice compared to residency, obviously, it's different. And I'm glad you have Care Notes right off the bat as you're starting off in private practice. And actually, I used to lecture at Bellevue about, and this is way before Care Notes, I used to lecture about how to write proper clinical notes with personal details when you see hygiene patients, so that you can continue the patient-doctor relationship. Because when you're in residency or when you're in dental school, you don't really think about it. All your focus is in clinical, but you don't really think about, I got to see this patient every 6 months. Like, you don't really think about that. And you don't think about, well, how can I improve the experience so that this patient would refer her husband or the family, cousins, friends, coworkers. So that's how you build practice, really. That's the key to success, I think, is referral. and relationship based. So, and yeah, that's our, and again, I always use Duolingo as a comparable app. Like Duolingo is such a simple app to learn a language, but, and I love the, what the founder said, Louis, I think Louis von Ahn, he said, you know, and he tried to not charge for Duolingo for a very long time, because his belief was that every human being should have a right to learn a second language. And that's why, and this guy is genius.
I like that.
He's the guy who, very interesting guy. He's the guy who developed, he's genius. He's the one that, you know, in Google, when you used to sign up for Gmail or an account, you would have to, there's what's called CAPTCHA, or you have to type in whatever letter you see in a, you know, in an image, or you have to click motorcycles or cars, you know. He created that, and in a way made users organize and teach the software the letters of, because we're, as humans, we're kind of training the software what the letter is, what the image or where the motorcycle is. So yeah. he created that, and I think he sold that, and then he's genius. He has a podcast with How I Built This. It's a great episode. But yeah, that was his mission with Duolingo. And when I heard that, I'm like, oh my God, this tool, this AI tool to help us write clinical notes should be free to all healthcare providers. And I saw companies who doesn't even have as good of a quality of note coming out and generated, charging $200 a month for something like this.
Right.
Just blows my mind. And it's not even that good. And why do we have to pay for this to have such a basic tool? So, and you know, I get it. It's a new technology. Like when iTero scanner just, you know, first came out, it was like $30,000. But now, you know, obviously the costs would come down. They still have the newer models up there, the cost. And as a practice owner, I always hated that. I hated, you know, yes, if it's worth it, it's worth it. But I hated paying for this service and this service. All of a sudden, it adds up. That's why everyone says owning a practice is so difficult. It's because there's so many tools we need, but we get charged left and right. Then we have to make it up somehow while we're paying back our loans. Then it starts affecting our judgment and clinical decisions, which is very sad. It's not the loop that we want to fall into. So
no, I agree. And the reimbursement from insurance only decreases over the rallies and only has decreased. So it's there's constant friction.
Yeah, that's the whole topic that blows my mind. And I still see, you know, insurance patients. I see good decent amount of fee for service, but just I can't imagine if I tell my patients, you know, I'm dropping my plans. Where are they going to go? They're going to have to find a new doctor, or they pay, you know, a big chunk, or I have to give them out of network for a discounted rate to kind of match what they used to pay for. Because, you know, me as a patient, if I'm seeing a doctor and all of a sudden I have to pay 2-3 times as much, that's just the system is set up that way, which is not fair for providers or the patients. It's crazy how over 20-30 years I saw a post about how like the insurance maximum and the fee has stayed the same. Like the insurance maximum has been 2,000 or so, around that range, for 20 years or something, which is
since the 70s. I put out a post about this. I traced I tracked it. It was 1,500 to 2,000 since the 70s. If it matched inflation, it would be $6,000 to $7,000 a year.
Can you imagine? Maximum being $60,000. I mean,
$6,000 to $7,000. Yeah,
but even if it was $6,000 to $7,000, I doubt that any of the insurance companies will go bankrupt. I mean, all of them would be still successful.
They'd be fine. They just wouldn't be able to pay the politicians as much. It's like if you really think of it, that's what's going on. And you know, the annual maximum, the benefit was designed, someone just told me this 2 weeks ago, it was designed so that in the 70s, if someone, God forbid, needed like most of their teeth taken out and then a denture to put on so that they could go get, you know, a job in a month or two, they could do that all within that annual maximum benefit. Mm-hmm. But then they just never increased it over time. And think about it, if someone was to need to get all their teeth, and not all 32, we're saying, but like if they're going to need like 10, like 15 teeth removed because they're all bad, and then a denture put on top, that would be probably around $5,000 to $10,000, right?
And in that theory now, if you think about full mouth extraction and all on six upper and lower, that's
the max. Now we're talking $25,000, $50,000.
Yeah. If insurance followed that theory, that would be the maximum. But, you know, fortunately, the reality is it is what it is. And unfortunately, unless we can, that's why I love the network of doctors coming together.
Me too.
And that's why I also envision with Kernos is DSOs and private equities are taking advantage of this buying power. They have group of offices. And that's why I think they love oral surgery practices, because their implant costs all of a sudden drops, like, I don't know, 50% or so.
At least.
Their profit margin and EBITDA goes up significantly just by buying that practice and, you know, tying it all together. So we're even thinking about creating a Care Notes community within the app, where if there's certain supply that we use all the time, I don't know, a typical etch or bonding agent, composite, and we get many doctors to say, oh yeah, I use that product, I want to be on the next cycle, and we get all the doctors together and we can go to the suppliers and say, hey, we want to buy this periodically with this group of bulk buying, can we get a discount? Like, there's so many network effects that we can utilize if we get together.
That would be huge, because small private practice owners could get into a larger group, and now we could leverage the cost that way. That would be extremely beneficial.
Can we have the same benefit as the big groups are doing? It's because it's hard to get everyone together, and no one's really tried. And I think when doctors are in day-to-day operations trying to run their practice and seeing patients, they don't really think about
it. Right.
They can't think about these things. Again, going riding horses to a car, to electric car, self-driving car. Right. It's just, you just can't think of it.
Right.
If this discussion sparks some kind of a possibility, that's what it's all about. It's just, you know.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And, you know, just running on that thought, because we do think on the same wavelength, and I love coming free first. You get the feedback, you build it to where it can be, and then the add-ons can be sold subscription-based later, potentially, if you sell in bulk, because it can be implemented into the software that you're currently using for management. But on that same topic, I do think that insurance is the root cause of a lot of the problems that healthcare is facing right now, and I don't see it getting better. I do think that the solution of it is to create a new insurance company. And this is a can of worms we could open for another day, but I just wanted to point out, you were saying creating a group, a community, a network of doctors on Care Notes within there to allow that leverage for the buying power of composite materials, alginate, implants, whatever it may be. It would also be interesting if within that community, because my goal one day, 10, 20 years from now, is to create an insurance company where we could actually have all the money that goes into the pot, you know, the patients that buy the insurance, it goes back, it actually reinvests in their care, unlike what's going on right now with insurance companies, right? We use AI, this is the whole preface of it. We use AI to limit the administrative costs that all these insurance companies have, right? AI could easily take out 90% or more of those costs, and now literally 90% or more of whatever patients pay for, they get back or more, right? And the way we do it is by taking that feedback from every dentist and say, oh, you feel that this should be covered? Excellent. Let's get on a call. Tell me why. Show me why. And we determine if we should. And then we could put it in like the code book, the rule book, whatever, on this date, you know, using this provider's device. And now it recruits providers together to make the improvements in the insurance company together. And the way it will work, I actually create an algorithm. I'll show it to you. I used the AI to create the algorithm, but we bring it down to geographic location. And I don't know, just long story short, it would actually encourage providers to go into and work for less fortunate, less underrepresented communities, because the wealth distribution, you know, it'll be based on the wealth in the area, but then also divided by how many providers there are in the area. So, you know, like dentistry, there's like this conversation going on with dental therapists, like this will allow people in underrepresented. That won't work. If you look at what CRNAs did, you got CRNAs working in the city now. So it was made to go get people access to anesthesia out in the middle of, like, I don't know, Idaho. And it works to an extent. But now you have CRNAs taking anesthesiologist positions in like the middle of Manhattan. I've seen it. That's what's going on. That's what will happen with dental therapists if they make them able to do certain fillings and stuff. The way you get it done is incentivizing providers to go out into the areas. What's the best way to do that? Financial incentives. But if you create an insurance system that's actually fair, right? And it makes it based off the geographic area location, like the mean average household income, also by the geographic size of the space, how many the population is, but then the number of providers.
Yeah.
So it factors it all into one algorithm. We could feed that into the care note system. We create a community. Yeah. Anyway, so
that's a great idea.
Keep it in the back end.
Yeah, there's so many underserved populations, and that would, again, give incentive for providers, like maybe a younger recent grad that are willing to, you know, maybe compromise their lifestyle and go to these underserved areas and really provide the care there. And then, you know, maybe they like it there or they move on. But at least, yeah, it brings them into those areas. And yeah, that's like, I'm just thinking, like, I used to do these dental mission trips out in Oaxaca.
Yeah.
And imagine there's a ton of incentive to go out there up in the mountains and provide care. We set up a clinic. Oh yeah, doctors would go and just, you know, push out dentistry and earn a good living and then pay off their loans and then maybe come back. I think that's a great idea.
And then maybe there's going to be eventually a day where someone comes from that distant town or village but they figure out that they'd make more money going back home to their town or village versus middle of Manhattan, whatever it may be, you know, middle of Chicago, they're more likely to go back to that town and take care of their community that they grew up with. And that isn't that the whole point of the American dream? So anyway, it's a work in progress, but.
And experiencing that again, I never really practiced outside of Manhattan in the private practice setting, but you know, when you go to these mission trips, I think that's why I value the patient relationship, is because they really value what you're doing and they're so appreciative. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't get that in busy Manhattan, and you know, they come late and they're like, oh, I gotta go in 20 minutes, do it quick. Like, you know, sometimes you get that every now and then, and I'm just part of their life, this little piece of dentistry, mm-hmm. and not as appreciative as if I was practicing back home where I'm from, a small town in Washington State. It's a big difference. And some doctors practice there than in a busy environment like this. So yeah, I think it's a great idea too. So many, again, possibilities, not again with just technology, but that technology may bring group of doctors together to build a network.
Yes.
But that's
what we need.
Yeah, exactly. This is a network that we're starting right now. So we need to keep it going. Yeah.
Oh yeah, big community. But hey, Bill, we should probably
get ready for tomorrow.
I gotta go make my lunch for tomorrow and stuff. This is a great talk though, and I got to learn so much more about you that I didn't even know. I mean, I there's so much that I learn, I respect, and I admire.
I mean,
and the movements that you're making.
I also want to learn more about you as well. I mean, obviously you're the host, but I want you to talk about more and more as you practice in private setting. I want to learn.
Oh, sure.
That what you're going through. Yeah, I think that.
Yeah, and thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So yeah, we'll pick this up maybe a couple of weeks, maybe next month. We do like a once a month. However you want to do it, man. I think this is really beneficial.
Let's do a call. I'll text you. We should find a time to talk about our you know, next step and you know,
yes,
how we can really strategize building the network, getting the word out there. So I have some ideas and I want to hear your ideas. I'm sure you have, like you said, you want to introduce and connect us to some people. Let's connect. You know, I'll shoot you a text. We'll find a good time.
Yeah. Maybe Friday or Monday.
Okay.
Friday or Monday. Yeah. Let's see when you can. But
I'm always 24/7 care notes. So I'm ready to go.
Perfect.
Cool.
All right, Billy. Good stuff. Awesome. I'm going to send you the text of those ideas you got. And just text me back tomorrow whenever you get a chance.
We'll look at
Friday or Monday.
This is fun. Let's do it again.
Yeah, man. We will.
Yeah. All right.
All right. You have a good night, okay?
Yeah. Good night. Get some good rest.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
All right.